You heard what he said in the debate. He has no plan to replace it. He said, concepts of a plan. Oh, you all watched the debate. Concepts. No actual plan, concepts.
So that was her remarks yesterday. She was trying to like save herself and how she handled the debate. And I remember that moment in the debate, and I knew she was going to seize on that. And of course she did at this event that she did yesterday. That was, you know, Kamala Harris, who is discussing the debate. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour on Friday. And the concepts of a plan. Here's the difference, though. He has a record because he's had plans before. And concept of a plan is, I would say, a hell of a lot better than copying and pasting your entire platform from Joe Biden's campaign website. And when people talk about source code for the web pages and all of this stuff, like things, you know, obviously, I know enough to be dangerous. I don't really know a lot of the new computer languages anymore. Like I knew HTML and CSS and Java and all of that stuff. And so when they're talking about the source code of a web page, I mean, they literally just copied and pasted not just the content of it, but even the way it was structured. And in terms of, you know, your heading size and your subheads and if there's, you know, if there are bullet points underneath it, I mean, they just lifted it and transposed it on her website. That's all they did. So they didn't even come up with the layout of the words, you could argue. It's so insane that no one's questioning her on this. And then when I was listening to this live yesterday when she was speaking, and I thought that's really dumb to seize on, particularly considering she hasn't come up with anything. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff coming up in this particular hour, because her economic policies are being slammed. Even people on her side are saying, okay, well, we get that you want to do this stuff, but you realize that you're just making the red ink shoot into the stratosphere. And it's not just Republicans and conservatives that are pointing this out. There are actual other Democrats that are a little worried about this, because they're looking at moderates and independents who are questioning her. And when she doesn't have an answer to that, and that's one of the things that in the next week, there's going to be more polls, state polls coming out. That's going to be a good measure of, I guess, how well each candidate performed in the debate, and if it moved the needle, which I don't think it's going to. I don't think either of them performed well enough in the debate to distance one another. But this lack of policy beyond some vagaries has actually hurt her in some of the most immediate polling that came out from Reuters, when they were looking at some of these moderates and independents from specifically the swing states. And the moderates and independents, particularly independents that they were talking to, were saying that they did not hear enough in her answers to the during the debate to give them a real idea of where she wanted to go that was different from where Joe Biden has already been taking everybody. And that counts when your whole entire message is forward and, you know, change or whatever, when you've been in charge this whole entire time. And the media, of course, is helping her out. Of course, they're helping her out with her budget estimates and et cetera. There are a couple of really good pieces, like the Wharton report that came out that came up during the debate. And they were saying that the Harris campaign supports extending the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And that was, of course, a Trump tax cut. But they ignore how her pledge would change the deficit estimates, especially considering that she's proposing massive government spending. And when you look at her budget and what she wants to spend, there's no way that she can maintain that campaign promise She's promising to deliver literally the largest middle class tax hike in history. And this, you can't, when you're extending tax cuts, that's your money. And I hate that phrase, extending tax cuts. It's like you're allowing people to keep more of their own money. The government's stealing less of people's money. Really, it should be talking about extending government austerity in terms of spending, but that's never discussed. But they had the combination of her tax cuts and then her big government spending. And that's what's really, I mean, that's what's going to drive the deficit. And she's going to have to raise, there's no way she can do it. She's going to have to raise taxes. This was what one of my biggest criticisms when actually Trump did this. I want tax cuts. But the problem is that they didn't cut spending. Government was still spending quite a bit before lockdown. And a lot of people don't really talk about it or acknowledge it, but they were. I know that there was some red tape that was being cut and some departments that were being reduced, but it wasn't fast enough. It could have been faster, especially considering some of the numbers in the House and Senate. It could have been faster, but it wasn't. And so as a result, my warning was that they're going to blame the Trump tax cuts for fueling the deficit when really it's government spending. And that's exactly what Democrats did. And that's how they got all these people to go along with, oh, we got to tax the middle class, we got to tax people, we got to raise taxes. And that's what Harris is. She's trying to have it both ways. And it's just reckless. It's a reckless fiscal policy. She's promised the whole ending taxes on tips. She's promised. I mean, it's just weird. She acts like her budget takes into account any kind of tax extension, all of this stuff. She's trying to claim an extension for reduction in tax, but yet her policies call for raising it. And that's just like one of the criticisms of her economic policies or policies at all. I mean, I'm not even getting into the energy yet. But this is where, you know, a lot of these moderates and independents have been asking about this. She's not pledging any kind of spending cuts at all whatsoever. Not at all. I mean, think about this. The deficit, it was like in the early 80s that it rose above $100 billion for the first time, which seems like a paltry number now, which is sad, but it does. But they're looking at Harris's pledge for spending. You would have to have almost $5 trillion in new taxes in order to subsidize it. And that's from the New York Times. That's not me saying this. This is the New York Times. They're talking about the ratio of taxes to spending cuts is, you know, 11 quadrillion million to one. It's disastrous. It is disastrous. And that's why you're hearing a lot of these economists and a lot of people on Wall Street saying, yeah, well, if you want to reduce debt, this is what you got to do. And it's not her plan. It's not her plan. I don't know if that's how they're advising the people that they're serving, but that's not her plan. But this is what I'm talking about. She sits here and she's mocking. She's saying, well, you know, the concept of a plan. And when I heard Trump say that, I was like, they're going to make that a thing, even though we all know what he means. They're going to make that a big thing, which they did, of course. But again, I go back to, she doesn't even have anything. I don't even think she understands the economy. You realize that she has never worked in the private sector. And I feel like a broken record saying that about so many of these Democrats, but it's true. She has literally never, ever worked in the private sector. She's always been in government. Now, how do you understand, as a person who's crafting economic policy, how do you understand the ins and outs of the economy if you've never worked in it? You've never, ever had the adrenaline of worrying and then realizing you're able to make payroll and all this other stuff when you've never been in it. So many of these people are like this, but yet they take pot shots at people who have the upward economic mobility and make something of themselves, go into business, do all of this in the private sector. They're jealous of those people. That was just, well, he's got a concept of a plan. Girl, you stole your plan. You stole your plan from the guy you sub for. Come on. Come on. Now, a few other things I want to make sure that we're getting into. Audio soundbite 4, if we can get that ready. I never thought I would see the day where Democrats are parading around the endorsements of a family that they called war criminals and said should be put to death. We are in the weirdest. I thought 2016 was weird. Then I thought 2020 was weird. It keeps getting weirder, and this is proof. Audio soundbite 4.
Over 200 people who worked for President George H.W. Bush, President George W. Bush, John McCain, and Mitt Romney have endorsed me for president. Former Vice President Dick Cheney and Congresswoman Liz Cheney are supporting me as well.
Wow. Is that, I don't think that that's not a, what, who is she trying to, you know what she's trying to do there? She's trying to play to what she thinks is the never Trump crowd, the people who are like David French, the Republicans. They say they're Republican, but they're voting for Harris. She's trying to do that. She's trying to advertise for more of that. I don't understand how you can look at just the policies and make that assessment. I'm not in their heads. I do not know the logic breakdown in their minds, the inability to reason in their minds that leads them to make that decision. It makes me think that it's more than just pettiness and ego and vanity. I don't know. But that's, can you believe that we are in a world right now where that's a talking point? That's a bragging point for the left? I never thought it. Never thought it. So coming up, we got a couple of things to get into. A big story coming out of Massachusetts, where you had people who were in support of Israel holding a rally, and a pro-Hamas agitator violently attacks an Iraq war veteran who was simply there on behalf of his, with his Jewish friends and neighbors, protesting in favor of Israel's right to self-defense. And this pro-Hamas agitator runs across the street to attack him. It's all on video. Violently attacks him. The veteran defends himself by drawing a firearm and shooting his attacker. And the veteran is the one who is being charged with assault and violating the pro-Hamas guy's constitutional rights. I am not kidding you. Wait until you hear about this story and see some of the video. It's unbelievable. We're going to get to that here coming up after headlines. It's Tax Network USA. You know, you got the government theft agency. I mean, I'm sorry, the IRS that has been sending millions of these pay-up notices out. And, you know, our tax dollars just hired 88,000 new agents to crack down on millions of people around the country. And you don't have to face this alone if you are one of these people that are dealing with IRS harassment. Tax Network USA is here to help you. If you owe back taxes, if you have unfiled returns, they can help you and face them with you. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They are experts in this. They're reliable in this issue of tax relief. They have skilled professionals. So it doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. They're going to get the best resolution for your tax issues, regardless of whether it's personal, whether it's business. They have the tools and experience to handle any situation. And so whether you're able to pay now or you're on a fixed income, they can provide tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network's USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana and work with a company you can trust. They'll help you resolve your tax burdens once and for all. tnusa.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So if this news is your jam, there's news that Justin Timberlake apparently pled guilty in his DWI case. But also, he walks in wearing a black lace cardigan and a stranded pearl necklace. Can we stop with dudes wearing pearl necklaces? Dave Bautista, who looks totally femme now, and now Justin Timberlake, who's wearing a pearl necklace. Men don't wear pearls. It looks dumb. Stop it. Stop it. It's for your Chanel outfit or if you're cosplaying as Barbara Bush. Those are the only two times that it's acceptable, and only for women. I will gatekeep this all day long. So that actually was a bigger deal to me than the fact that he, I mean, yes, he pled guilty to DWI, but he wore pearls when he walked in there to do it. I don't know. This is the one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. So this woman, she's a beauty pageant participant, and she was a Miss Switzerland finalist. So her husband murdered her in one of the most ridiculous, I mean, he killed her, decapitated her, cut her womb out, chopped her up, and then used a blender to puree her. The 41-year-old ex-husband was named under, because Swiss had, in Switzerland, they had privacy laws, so they didn't use his real name. But her body was found back in February. They're in court now. And he, I mean, it is insane. They don't even know why really he did it. I don't know if she was going to leave him or what, but he used a powerful industrial blender. This is for you true crime folks out there. And she's a mother of two. So that's just horrific. And apparently also, while he was doing it, he was playing YouTube videos on his phone. I don't know. So yeah, that guy's, do they have the death penalty in Switzerland? I mean, it feels like they should. In New York, New York Post, this is crazy. A camper may have actually discovered an ancient meteor crater just by looking at Google Maps. And it's a guy from Canada. He was researching an upcoming camping trip. And so he was looking at Google Maps and he was trying to figure out where, you know, looking at different locations. And he uncovered what experts think is a giant crater left by an ancient meteor. Joelle LaPont of Quebec was scanning through one of the regions, the True North regions, when he saw this mysterious, roughly 9 mile wide pit while using the satellite imaging setting. So he passed along his findings to a geophysicist that I guess he apparently knew. I don't know. We all know his geophysicist, I guess, over at the CBC. And they said, yeah, it's very suggestive of impact. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting. And cuddling your dog can reduce symptoms after a physically painful ordeal, scientists reveal. I believe that. It's very calming. It's scientists in Germany have found that having a dog around reduces feelings of pain during recovery from a physical ordeal. This isn't the first study that's discovered something like this as well. And speaking of another study, most Americans are still clueless about the First Amendment. This is the Annenberg Constitution Day Civic Survey to celebrate Constitution Day on September 17th. Yeah, apparently 65%, only 2/3 of Americans can correctly name all three branches of government. And apparently only 74% of Americans can accurately define what the First Amendment is. Stay with us. Scary. Burn a gun. It's a non-firearm firearm. And it's always good to have multiple options for self-defense, particularly when you don't have the luxury of being able to carry everywhere you go. And I always tell everybody to carry. I carry all the time. There are times when I'm barred because I have to go somewhere for my job. And if it's private property and I can't carry, that's such as the way that it is. And I have friends that live in Washington, D.C. and live in New York, and they, by nature of their jobs, they have to go into places where they can't always carry. But you've seen the crime rates. They don't want to make themselves statistics. So they want to diversify the options that they have for self-defense, and the Byrna gun is one way to do it. The Byrna SD is their most popular model, and what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles to stop threats. Stun guns, if you compare them, are just, you know, one or two shots. Five rounds with the Byrna gun. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. They send it right to your door. So you should check it out. They have different models. They have different accessories, projectiles, all of that. To learn more about Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Approximately 6:40 tonight, the Newton police responded to calls at Washington and Harvard Street, just a short distance from the station. What we have since learned is there was a small group of individuals, pro-Israeli demonstrators, who were demonstrating on one side of the street. There was an individual apparently completely randomly walking down the other side of the street. Words were exchanged back and forth across the street. That individual, who was not part of the group, at some point began crossing the street, appears to have gone back to his side of the street, ultimately came across and jumped upon one of the demonstrators. A scuffle ensued. During that scuffle, the individual who had come across the street was shot by a member of the demonstrating group. That individual, whose name is Scott Hayes, age 47, from Framingham, is under arrest. He right now is charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon and violation of a constitutional right causing injury.
Violation of a constitutional right causing injury. So the audio that you just heard that we played for you was the Middlesex County District Attorney Marion Ryan announcing charges in this case involving veteran Scott Hayes. That's one of the charges. Violating a constitutional right of a pro-Hamas terrorist apologist who ran across the street and violently attacked him. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this second hour, Dana Lash with you, Channel 3047 DirecTV, Rumble, where the chat happens. Also find us on Substack, chapter and verse. The video of this, and we have video, and I will say they're fighting, but you actually, it's difficult to kind of see what's happening. And you don't totally see very clearly immediately him use his firearm in self-defense. So I will warn you on that. The individual who attacked the veteran, he had life-threatening injuries, but he is alive and he's recovering from the injuries that he caused to himself by choosing to violently attack someone. Now, there was a peaceful pro-Israel demonstration as before we get ready to play this video, and this is, it'll be audio soundbite 14. It was a peaceful pro-Israel demonstration, and this guy, this, you know, he was wearing like a Hamas pin and all this, and he was yelling at the protesters from across the street. And I guess at some point he decided that wasn't enough, and he runs across the street seeking physical altercation, seeking trouble. The guy was seeking trouble and attacks this Iraq war veteran who is just there to support, apparently, his Jewish friends. And there's some people have provided still images from the video. And when you do pause and play the video, you can see the attacker has his hands around the veteran's neck, around Scott Hayes's neck. He's trying to kill him. So what do you do in that situation? You got to defend yourself. Here's the video we're talking about. This is audio soundbite 14.
You are sick. You are sick.
We're sick?
Yes. You are defending genocide.
Genocide?
Yes.
But you are so stupid.
Over 200,000.
You're so stupid. You're so stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You're
stupid.
You're stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid. Yo!
You see, he's trying to strangle the guy.
Oh my God! Whoa!
Grab my pistol!
Oh my God!
Grab my pistol!
Oh my
Stop!
God!
Get off him! What is Stop!
That?
Get
off him! Yo! Let me get him! Yo!
He gives first aid to the attacker. I mean, he's trying to strangle him in this, and you can at one point and before he shot.
Yo!
Grab my pistol!
Oh my God!
Grab my pistol!
Stop!
Get off him!
And what gets me, you have two other people there. They cannot get this violent attacker off this veteran. Two other people. This guy was so enraged. He was seeking trouble. This guy was seeking trouble. These people were standing there on the street, a pro-Israel demonstration. They just had their flags out. And he starts, and one of the, who was it? Cassia Akiva from Daily Wire has all the video on that exclusively. This guy was seeking trouble. He sought them out, immediately started yelling invectives. I mean, he's definitely the aggressor. And it took him getting shot before he would stop attacking. I mean, it's this, and then they charged the veteran who was attacked. They charged the veteran who was attacked because apparently you're supposed to allow the left to beat you to death so you don't violate their constitutional right of being able to beat you to death because they don't like your opinions. I mean, this is crazy. The left doesn't have a right to try and kill you if they don't like your viewpoints. But the left also wants to criminalize self-defense and protect violent pro-terrorist attackers. I mean, this to me, everything that I see here, this is completely justified. But Massachusetts, as I understand, I don't think Massachusetts has stand your ground law. And this is why you should just leave blue states, honestly. I had someone, and I think that they were genuinely asking. I don't think that they were trolling, but they had asked, you know, well, why was the use of this type of force okay? Just curious. My point is this. When someone is attacking you, it is not, the burden is not on the victim to determine the motives or intent of their violent attacker. You're the victim. You have the right to defend yourself. And the consequence of violently attacking someone is that they may use lethal force in defense of themselves. That is a consequence of violently attacking an innocent person. The burden is not on the victim to determine the intentions of the person attacking them. So remember, the consequence of violently attacking someone is that the person being attacked may defend themselves with lethal force. So maybe people who attack people shouldn't attack people. It is amazing to me that this is even an issue in this case. I mean, the guy who was attacked, this Scott Hayes gentleman, was on his side of the street. He wasn't seeking trouble. Nobody even knew he was carrying. He wasn't seeking trouble. It was the guy who attacked him who was seeking trouble. The attacker on the other side of the street who just couldn't bear to walk past peaceful people displaying an Israel flag. No, no, no. He had to immediately start instigating. He had to start instigating trouble. I mean, that's why one of my favorite sayings is, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. I actually made a t-shirt of that. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing that this looks completely justified. And there's a lot, it's difficult to kind of see, you know, when you're looking at all of this. But I mean, this is wild to see this. And then to have this guy, the state, Middlesex County District Attorney Marion Ryan, charging Scott Hayes, the guy who was attacked, charging him with assault with a deadly weapon. What was the other charge? And apparently saying that he somehow abridged the constitutional right of the guy who attacked him. I mean, and all of the people there who were there witnessing said he was acting in self-defense. I mean, this guy charged him and tackled him to the ground. There were two other people there. I don't know if the guy was on drugs. Maybe he was. I mean, if there are two other guys there and they're unable to dislodge the attacker from the innocent person, I don't know. Maybe the guy's on drugs or something. But see, that's the thing. It's not the burden isn't on the victim to make that determination at the time. You know how asinine that is? This is the exact argument that sexist Democrats used against women in Colorado 12 years ago when they were arguing to disarm them on college campuses. You had this guy, Joe Salazar. He was a state rep. He didn't like me, especially after I confronted him at a rally. But he was speaking to the state legislature. And this was right after a very brave rape survivor testified. And she was a rape survivor who had her license to carry. But she was on campus, which was a gun-free zone, so she had to leave her firearm in her car, and she was attacked on her way to her car after class and violently raped, like, a couple of yards away from a police call box. You know, because those call boxes come in super handy when you're being raped right by them. And this guy was telling women, and his direct words were, and I've written stories about it, there's audio out there if you want to look, but what he told women was, well, you don't know if you feel like you're going to be raped or if it's just, he was actually diminishing the gut instinct that a woman has. And by the way, this is what the Transtifa people do. They try to diminish women's gut instinct on their own safety. This is what the left does. They want you to sit there and determine, well, is that guy going to come and murder me? Oh, this guy's attacking me right now. He's got a knife. Are we sure he's just not going to use it to like open up a package, or is he going to plunge it into my chest? I just don't know. Maybe I shouldn't defend myself until he stabs me a couple of times and I can be sure of his motive. This is what the left wants you to think when you're violently attacked. They prioritize the safety and the feelings of the victim or of the attacker over the victim. It's like saying, well, your skirt's too short, so maybe you were asking for it. It's the same logic. And by the way, this veteran, according to the attorney, he had full legal possession of his firearm. So he was a legal carrier. He wasn't a prohibited possessor. And he was not brandishing. He wasn't doing anything like that. And this guy charged him. By the way, this is just one example of the violent, destructive protests from pro-Hamas terrorist rioters. We don't have to play the audio from this, but this is audio. This is a cut 16. This is from NYPD. They have drone footage of the pro-Hamas demonstrators busting up storefronts, throwing trash in the road, vandalizing public buses that taxpayers pay for, and harassing people and officers. They're vandalizing businesses. These are pro-Hamas people who all went to Hot Topic to get black clothes, and then they just decided to go into the street. And this is all designed to scare people and to terrorize them into silence. That's what this is. Destruction of public property, harassment, vandalism. I mean, none of this is protest. This is harassment. It's not protest, it's harassment. Taking over public streets is not a form of protest. This is harassment. And bullying and harassing people. And that's one of the things that these rioters do. If you've ever seen them, especially when it was the summer of everything burning, people were just outdoors eating in restaurants, and you know, people who use these tactics like this, they would aggravate these, you know, innocent patrons who were just eating outside at restaurants. Same thing. But this is just some of the drone footage from New York of the pro-Hamas rioters vandalizing public property that taxpayers are going to have to pay to fix and clean up and everything else. Harassing just regular, average, everyday people. This is not doing anything to engender sympathy for their cause. I'm just like, oh, terrorists are going to terrorist. I look at that and that's what I think. This Scott Hayes story, they're going to try to make an example out of him, because blue states dislike innocent people protecting themselves. They would rather have you dead than to have you protect yourself. I fully believe this. I 1000% believe this. I'm not saying that to be a lightning rod. I'm not saying it because it's a shock statement. I fully believe, because of political ideology and tribalism, that blue state prosecutors like this would rather have innocent people dead at the hands of these victims that they're at the hands of these attackers that they're protecting. It's sickening. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at ReadyWise. Imagine not having to worry about whether or not you possess the essentials to keep your family fed, no matter what happens. With ReadyWise, you can be assured that you are prepared for whatever life may throw your way. You have emergency food on hand with ReadyWise, and it's quality premium survival food that is going to be there when you need it, whether it's a natural disaster, a power outage, a storm, or whatever, and you're able to feed your family with confidence. You can visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout. That gets you 20% off any regularly priced item. And while you're there, check out their 72-hour food kits, because they have buy one, get one going on right now. $100 in value for just $50. It includes two boxes of premium survival food. You got your three hots, includes breakfast, drinks, all of it, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. You know the chain of command, from the ingredients in your food to the packing to the distribution. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Yesterday, especially at Ground Zero in New York City, we all, I'm sure, many of us have personal stories of that day, 9/11 of 2021, and more than 2,000 lives were lost. 2000.
Did she say 2021? Did I hear that properly?
11 of 2021.
Oh my gosh. 9/11 of 2021. Wow. That's Karine Jean-Pierre, who has trouble remembering, you know, certain things here, apparently. Wow. All right. So coming up, a few things. We got to talk about, well, we got some sound bites from the Kamala campaign thingy that they did yesterday. We have some polling to touch on. We're going to get, we have more of the latest on this Massachusetts self-defense case. Do I want to talk about Warhammer and the female custode, or are all of you out there going to die if I do this? Someone said it's like Vince from Ghostbusters talking about after he gets possessed and he's the gatekeeper. And when he's talking about the monsters and all of that, I would have to play that soundbite for you. People say that it's like that. So I don't know. Like, I feel like we got to talk about this because I'm tired of dumb broads who don't play the game complaining about the game. So anyway, we'll get it. We got a lot to hit. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee that is out there. I have it every single day. It's the only coffee I drink. Everything else is trash. It is all trash. Everything is horrible. Black Rifle Coffee tastes so good. Their roasts are amazing. They get the best beans from all around the world. They bring them back to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah where they roast them, veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they employ veteran and active duty as well. Right now, if you want to try, if you want to sample some of their other coffees, or maybe you just want to give a cool gift to someone who loves the perfect brew, you can get the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler and save 20% using code Dana only at blackriflecoffee.com. Now, what this Fuel Kit Variety Sampler contains, it's a lineup of classic Black Rifle Coffee blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of the AK-47 Espresso Silencer Smooth Beyond Black and Just Black. These are actually all my favorites. And it comes in ground texture. You can get, you know, this coffee as well with whole bean K-cup ready to drink. In the kit, it comes in ground. And just bold, great flavor and deep richness. It's just the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. And as you know, veteran-owned Black Rifle Coffee is dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes. And you help with every purchase. They also have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and all kinds of stuff. Join the coffee club. Choose your favorite roast frequency of shipment and have it delivered to your door. Free shipping. Experience outstanding flavor from the best coffee in the world, blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Because this started, and I love this story, as a young prosecutor, Kamala Harris talked about going in that courtroom for the first time. Kamala Harris.
Well, I mean, prostitute and prosecutor. Let's put them both together, said Tim Walz's brain. Prostitutor, root toot tootin'. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of the second hour. It's Friday, and you guys know, typically with the Friday show, as the show goes on, we start getting kookier. Just typical on a Friday. So it's going to happen here too. It's good to be with you. Welcome back. We are at the top of our second hour. And I am the, that it's a funny sound, but he's weird in that. That was part of their campaign event that they did yesterday. So he calls her a young prostitutor. And then he does this cringe. Audio soundbite 6. This is so cringe. Listen to this.
One final thank you. Thank you to my fellow cat owner, Taylor Swift. Look, she's not here, but let me just say, Vice President, I know you're all waiting. Oh, what a bait and switch this guy left on us.
Yeah, like the DNC.
Look, Vice President Harris and I couldn't be more excited to have her support. Really grateful. So, and look. Look, it's not as if I didn't warn these guys a few months ago. You mess with cat people and you will find out. You will find out. So
find out what?
So,
that's so dumb. Find out what, Tim? A new way forward, not like the old way. I mean, it's still the same shh, but it's a new way to get it. See, that's their campaign slogan. That's so dumb. The whole, I don't care who Taylor Swift votes for. I don't care. The left does. I wanted to share this with you. I wrote this over at Substack because some broad over at, I don't know, she looks like the most annoying type of millennial. She's like the chick who has all the pop sockets and she puts like bling in her Crocs. She's that kind of a chick. And it's over at The Independent, which is a British paper. And I'm, aside from trying to prevail upon myself, why I give a rat's backside about what a British person thinks of American politics. I do think that this headline is stupid And that's what I wanted to address. The headline is, sorry, Taylor Swift, friendships that cross political lines never work. And she notes that there was a photo, I guess they were at the U.S. Open, of Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift hanging out. Brittany Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, as you know, and she liked some of Donald Trump's social media posts because a journalist who couldn't be prevailed upon to call Springfield, Ohio and talk to someone other than a Democrat stooge, maybe talk to some of the residents to get the lowdown on who's eating what there. They decided that the journalism that they want to do is to look and see who likes what on social media. And so they found that Brittany Mahomes had liked some Trump posts. And then you had Taylor Swift that came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. So the subhead is this, quote, the singer-songwriter has sparked controversy after being photographed hugging an alleged Republican who's been publicly praised by Donald Trump. While Swift's political allegiances remain a mystery, are you stupid? It's doubtful that any friendship can survive different worldviews. So first off, I feel like this Katie Rosininski, whatever broad, is I feel like she is one of the dippiest people that I have, whose work I've ever had to suffer reading. I think after Taylor Swift, she's endorsed Kamala Harris very publicly on Instagram. So I don't know how you can write with a straight face the sentence, her own political allegiance remain a mystery. What? And then this sentence, like she's hugging a Nazi, photographed hugging an alleged Republican, like it's a crime. This alleged puppy beater, this alleged Nazi. This is the type of thinking that is a cancer on society. It is a cancer on society. This is so dippy. And the fact that somebody wrote this, they took it seriously. Like it's they you can't be friends with someone if they think differently than you. So I have a piece up on this because I don't know why. This is partisan zombieism. It's exactly what it is. It's partisan zombieism. Humans aren't the Borg. We aren't some like meaty glob. We actually have different likes and ideas and beliefs. And the refusal to acknowledge someone's humanity as more important than a political box to be just checked is the exact same reasoning that led the society to begin devaluing life in the first place. It reeks of weakness and insecurity, and it's a deficit of both spirit and intelligence to deny oneself association with anyone that does not perfectly reflect one's exact belief set. I mean, that's just fruit. It sounds positively unrealistic also. It's impractical. I don't even agree with my own husband on everything. And he, more than anybody else on God's green earth, is someone with whom I agree on more things than not. Aside from, you know, Jesus, there's not going to be anybody else that I agree with more. And I still don't agree with everything with my husband. It's a fantasy standard, and it's especially applied to celebrities, particularly those of a stratospheric celebrity level, because of their inordinate potential to influence others, right? And so Democrats, clearly they view Taylor Swift as some kind of tool. I mean, maybe she would prefer to be one, but I would like to think that she is at least smart enough to know when she's being maliciously manipulated to ditch friendships because the left is, what, too afraid that Taylor Swift may normalize being friends with diverse thinking people, you know, like a normal human would. And that's the thing. Normalcy is the enemy of the left. They need you to believe that we live in such unprecedented times that you got to ditch your friends. You have to. You can't get along with everyone at Christmas. You can't get along with everyone at Thanksgiving. You have to ditch your friends. You have to ditch your relations. You have to ditch everyone who does not conform to your worldview. Very important. They want you to believe that any kind of coupling of an incongruent belief is unnatural and wrong. They require supernatural fealty. And supernatural fealty has no room for diverse thought. It has what they think of as wrong think. And it has no grace for those who practice wrong think. And no mercy or tolerance for anyone. I think it would say a lot about Swift if she told the haters of her friendship with Brittany Mahomes to pound sand and make a point that you don't have to be of hive mind just to be friends with somebody. That's stupid. I mean, maybe she doesn't even need to do that and just continue showing people what a healthy friendship looks like without paying this, you know, indulgence of political samism. Maybe she doesn't even have to say anything, which maybe might make the left angrier, and I would be okay with that. I mean, I don't care who she votes for. I think it's weird when celebrities make these big sweeping announcements. Like, no one cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares who you're voting for. I have never put stock into who someone is voting for. Honestly, if you're someone out there, if you know someone who's like, well, I just didn't know who I wanted to vote for until Taylor Swift made her announcement. That person's brain is cheese. It's true. That's also dumb. I mean, how would you not have your mind made up right now? You don't have to be a politico or an operative to not have your mind made up, right? I mean, you pay bills, right? You go to the store, all that stuff. I mean, come on. It's goofy. And this is where we are right now. It's just goofy. But like I said, the Tim Walz thing about it, he's so cringe. But I do like the prostitute soundbite there. That is definitely something. The prostitute soundbite. We got some more. I got some more audio for you as well that we're going to dive into. And I wanted to pull in up a few things here. We're following this Massachusetts story. Can I also point out what they did at the Walz-Harris rally? Audio soundbite 5. This is the reality that we live in right now. This was a political rally and people were chanting, "We're not eating cats." Go ahead and play this. This is real.
And you tell me you had this on your bingo card. And they're eating cats. And they're eating cats. We can show them.
That's actually a thing that they did. They actually did that. I don't even understand. I can't. Now, Trump has said there's not going to be a third debate. He put out a statement on his social platform, and it was on X as well, where he says there's not going to be a debate. There will be no third debate. He also made a statement about it. Now, I said we were talking about some of the polling last hour. There's going to be, I think it's the stuff that comes out within the next week that's going to get into some of the polling coming out at post-debate to see who gets a bump and all of that. And I really don't think it's going to move the needle. It's not going to move these two candidates further apart. I don't think there's going to be any kind of gain from either of them on it. But I do think that if it shows that Harris is not gaining as much momentum as she needs, I look for her to push to do a debate harder, whereas Trump wouldn't really need to. But if Trump is, I think, having a really hard time, then he may want another debate. But he says right now there's not going to be. I honestly don't know why you would do one. I can't blame him because it's dumb. You don't learn anything from it. And he would have to really do better debate prep. I also think he needs better people within his orbit. Whoever helped prep him for the last debate should be dragged. Because he left so much meat on the bone. He left so much on the table. We talked about that after. And she didn't expand on her policies, and that's going to hurt her with independents. But why would you give her another shot at it? Why? I mean, she needs to build upon what she needs people to think of her more than he does. She needs to define herself for the American people more than he does. She needs the attention more than he does. But there's that basement strategy. We're going to talk about this more coming up after headlines. Also, some of the other stuff we're going to get into, like I said, this Massachusetts story, this self-defense story coming out of Massachusetts where they're now punishing the guy, the veteran who defended himself. We're going to talk more about that as well as we move towards headlines. Our partners who help bring you free radio, Kel-Tec, Kel-Tec's P15. This is one of their newer items, and it is one of their most popular right now. It's the lightest, thinnest, sleekest double stack 9mm that is on the market, and it is from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's striker fire, sweet trigger pull, and two versions, polymer and metal. The metal version has these gorgeous, so you gotta say it like my grandma did, gorgeous, these walnut wood grip panels, and it's it just looks real classy. It's like a James Bond gun. It really does. The polymer's great too. I mean, both of them are nice. And they come with two magazines. You got a standard 15 round mag with minimal pinky extension, and then you also have the flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two dot rear, keeping you on target. It's only 1.27 inches wide, 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty from a family run, family owned, veteran employed USA company, Kel-Tec, that make it all in Florida. America needs more companies like them. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first up, Ron DeSantis has declared war on widespread ballot petition fraud. And the governor and state election officials are purging voter rolls of non-citizens, dead people, and denying absent and very questionable signatures because election integrity is important. It's making the left super angry. Panera, I never thought I was going to see this sentence. Panera Bread brawl. Hero employee hits attacker with a pan during a fight at a Colorado restaurant, Glendale, Colorado, which is a great little town, by the way. A suspect who incited a brawl at a Panera, of all places. Is at large still, according to local reports citing police. Video footage captured shows a dramatic altercation during which the suspect threw several objects off a counter at restaurant staff. A customer tried to intervene, an employee stepped in, struck the suspect with a baking peel, and apparently the brawl began because the suspect demanded their phone from restaurant employees, and people said that they were super confused, and they said they didn't have their phone. Apparently he lost it, and then he started yelling racial slurs at one of them, and then I don't even know. One person suffered minor injuries at a Panera of all places. There's some video that Juan's showing you on the simulcast of it. It's just wild, man. High doses of Adderall have been linked with heightened risk of psychosis and mania. Adderall, as you know, which is used for ADHD. They said a sharp rise in U.S. prescriptions over the past 20 years has sparked concerns amongst researchers about rare and serious side effects. American Journal of Psychiatry published a new study yesterday, and they found that individuals who took high doses of the stimulant, they faced more than a fivefold increased risk of developing psychosis or mania. And apparently a lot of this, there was a huge increase during lockdown because they said it was driven by the use of telemedicine providers. Very interesting. A tech billionaire pulled off the first private spacewalk high above Earth yesterday. And of course, there are already conspiracy theories saying that they weren't actually in space. It didn't happen, just like the first moon landing. Can't even deal with it. A Delta flight clipped another plane on the taxiway yesterday at an Atlanta airport and knocked off a smaller plane's tail. Wow. I don't even know how that happens, but they did. They said Delta Airlines Flight 295 was en route to Tokyo, was taxiing for takeoff. Its wingtip hit the tail of another flight that was heading to Louisiana and knocked its tail off. So they had to stop everything. It was like, it took a long time. Nobody was injured, thankfully. Stick with us. We got more in store next.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Look, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. She could run over a child live on TV. I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. I'm never going to vote for Trump.
That's gnarly.
But the fact is, even though I think she'll make a good president, she's not a good candidate. If you remember from when she ran before, she tends to get real irritated with stuff she doesn't like. She's not real fast on her feet. Maybe she's better now, but live events, things like that, I don't know, man. I don't think she's going to do so well in the debate.
Shirtless? I mean, I know they're at the beach, but is that California? I mean, aren't they like all about like wearing their athleta wear everywhere? I don't know what. Why was that guy shirtless? Does anybody know? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here at the bottom of this second hour. At least he's honest about it. She could run over a kid and I'd vote for her. I think that's where everybody is still after the debate. No, I don't think it did anything. And I think that the people who are going to vote Democrat are going to vote Democrat, and the people who are going to vote Republican are going to vote Republican. And there is a tiny sliver that's going to decide everything of people who can't yet determine if they're going to vote for a candidate that they hate or against a candidate that they hate. And that's where we are. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to specifically that. So I'm just sitting and watching, just waiting and, you know, seeing there's going to be some more surveys that come out to see about the debate, if there is a debate bounce, which I don't think there's going to be for either candidate. I really don't. So it's interesting. But I thought that was funny. That was funny soundbite. I mean, it's true. A few other things I want to make sure that we're hitting, because we got some, let's see here. We got some good audio that I want to make sure that we are touching on. I mentioned we were talking a little bit earlier about the pet stuff. Audio soundbite 10, just because it's funny. Eric Swalwell about the pet. I mean, the pet eating stuff is real. There's like a duck rescue lady that came out and said, yes, it's a real thing. Like the duck rescue lady in Ohio is having to come out and say stuff. As long as we are still talking about how this is a consequence of an open border. Audio soundbite 10, though. This is Feng Feng's boyfriend.
People should check on their pets, Nicole. The pets aren't okay. They're a little terrified by the madness they heard last night. Children were asking their parents. A lot of my friends were texting me saying, well, I had to have a conversation with my son last night about why this guy is running for president, because he didn't sound like someone who was running for president.
I mean, it's a real thing. And the more that they deny it, the more people are going to double and triple down on it. I mean, this was something that Tim Walz, he had brought up yesterday, which is kind of funny. He's like, don't mess with cat people, you know, unless you're here illegally and you're eating them in someone's driveway. The cats from the cat people, I guess, you know, apparently. But at some point, they've got to get back. I hope that all of the people talking about this bring this back to the border. And the fatalities, like children have been killed, women have been killed, men have been killed, people have been targeted. I mean, it's a very real thing. And I don't know. They said they're not going to have a third debate. There have been questions as to whether or not the debate was rigged. The sourcing was kind of meh of a claim that she apparently had gotten something beforehand from ABC. I don't think that would have helped even if she did. She had one goal, to push Trump's buttons. I don't think her getting anything in advance, even if she did, and it was really shaky sourcing, the original claim on that, which is why I didn't touch it yesterday, because I'm like, this doesn't smell right. But the idea that she, how can you, I just don't, how would you cheat? How would you cheat? She was going to do the same, and he was going to do the same no matter what. So I just don't know what that even would count for, what impact that would even have. Photographers are slamming her for reduced access, though. The White House News Photographers Association has criticized her. They said that her campaign team has engaged in a, quote, unprecedented reduction in access. And a lot of people, reports Axios in the press corps, are very upset over what they're saying is media evasion from the Harris campaign. She has yet to do a solo television interview. She has not had one single unscripted moment in front of the press, really, since July 21st. And the president of the White House News Photographers Association said that Harris's aides last month, they were protesting that the four independent news photographer seats, they were downgraded to one. And they got that from Harris's aides. They said that they had four photographer seats and, you know, traveling with her on the campaign trail, et cetera. Now it's just one. And they said that they need to reconsider the number of seats that they're allowing for press. And they apparently still have not gotten a response. The Harris campaign has not responded to the White House News Photographers Association about this. And this isn't the first time that anyone in the press has criticized her over a lack of access either. There have been a lot of rumblings about this since she got in the race in July. And they were trying to say, some of Harris's surrogates were trying to say, well, Trump doesn't have a traveling pool of reporters with him like Harris does. Well, Harris is also the vice president. But he also does press engagements. He doesn't necessarily need to, because whenever he sees them, he talks to them. He engages with them. He does interviews. He makes himself available. She does not. That's the main difference. But they've been complaining about this. The press in D.C. has been complaining about this for quite some time. There's a left-leaning website that tracks press conferences, media interviews, and informal Q&As. And they said that, Kamala hasn't done any. And they were talking about how Trump has done. This was the last time they measured this. Biden was still in the race. They had an offhand remark saying that Harris hasn't done any of it. But they were saying that Trump, it's not an issue with Trump because he's just out there talking to members of the press all the time. I mean, good grief, even during the trial stuff, he was wandering over and talking to members of the press. So this is very similar to Hillary. Remember, Hillary would corral journalists in between ropes at her events. So I don't know. She doesn't want to make the press mad, because those are the people who are making her right now. The members of the press are the people that are making her. And I don't know. At some point, I think their goodwill is going to run out. I think for some people at CNN, that's happened already. But I don't know. Now, as far as it concerns with the animal stuff, like I was saying, there have been Springfield residents that have said that more of them have come forward talking about this. And it doesn't, I think everyone's getting so into specifically talking about the pets and the animals. Some are overlooking the fact that regardless of how many pets and how many waterfowl, they are still having a major problem with the surge and the number of illegal immigrants from Haiti. It is a city that has a population of 58,000, and there are about 20,000 now. A massive surge, 20,000 people alone who are classified as, they say, undocumented, illegal immigrants, specifically coming in from Haiti. That's where they've been relocated. And they have what's called temporary protected status from the Biden-Harris administration. And they're going to get more. That's not like the end of the number. They're going to get more. And this is stuff that she's bragged about. This has been part of the Biden-Harris immigration policy from day one. They implemented the temporary protected status for these Haitian illegal immigrants, and they actually extended it all the way till 2026. The temporary protected status means that if you're coming from a certain country that has problems, you get a temporary immigration status. You can be allowed to stay in the United States. And it's only supposed to be from like 6, 12 or 18 months. But now it's lasting for a couple of years. That's where it is. And it's different from asylum, because asylum is something that is like a person by person process. But temporary protected status is applicable to an entire block of people who come from one particular country. And so that's it. They are protected from deportation under this status. So that's what the status is. And it was expanded under Biden-Harris, and they've extended it all the way into 2026. So they're going to be bringing more people in. And these are people that have not gone through the legal proper pathway and have legal status in the United States. They're protected from deportation. And this is a smaller city. I mean, it's not a huge city, but there are 58,000 people there. When you add 20,000 people from like in the span of, you know, months, that's a huge deal. That is a huge deal. How do you assimilate giant swaths, like 20,000? How do you assimilate 20,000 people who arrive in a town of 58,000 in a short period of time? Because when you're not just bringing that many, it's a lot. I think it's a lot harder to have people assimilate into U.S. culture, U.S. law, U.S. way of life, etc. I.e. the pet and waterfowl thing. I mean, it's at some point, depending on how many more people they bring in, 20,000 to 58,000. I mean, you're getting up near to almost where you're halfway rivaling the number of citizens that are in that town. And why are they going? I just don't understand why it is that Springfield, Ohio, or any other town in America has to bear the responsibility of taking care of another failed state's citizens, a failed nation's citizenry. Why is it their responsibility to do this? No one's been able, no one's asked that question and no one's answered that question. Why is it Springfield, Ohio's responsibility to take care of another country's citizens when their government failed them? Now, I just want to try to reconcile how the left has always pretended that they were against nation building, but they're really not. Why does Springfield have to bear that burden? I mean, the left has never answered that. They never answer why border towns have to bear the burden of illegal immigration, people who are fleeing countries where their governments have also failed. The United States is not the repository for failed states.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is the weirdest combination of stuff to steal, but it's Florida. This is apparently a village's story. It is a village's story. So according to the Villages News, Sylvia Wilson went into a Walmart in Summerfield and thought she could just get a shopping cart full of makeup and fishing lures and filled it up apparently to the top and then try to walk out with it. I don't know why anyone thinks that this is, you know, you're buying makeup and fishing lures. I have no idea why that comp, why, I don't know, but she was busted. She also apparently had some fentanyl and drug paraphernalia on her person. Maybe that has something to do with a shopping cart full of makeup and lures, but okay. So she was taken into custody, Marion County Jail, where she is facing charges for theft, drug possession, drug paraphernalia, a whole bunch of stuff. She is, her bond is $5,500, which, and she didn't make it, so she's still in the pokey. But a shopping cart full of makeup and fishing lures. That's like really oddly specific. I mean, yeah, okay, all right. This Florida man and his accomplice were busted in Naples, Florida, because they stole 400, I repeat, 400 sticks of deodorant. Okay, all right. That's in Naples, Florida. And they're young dudes, too. Well, younger dudes too. I mean, they're like not super young, but you know, they're in their 40s. But they said that this is Collier County. They think it's an organized retail theft ring that has been stealing from major retailers like Publix and Walmart and CVS and Winn-Dixie and Walgreens all across the state. And they got the information that these two dudes were involved in a recent large-scale retail theft spree in Marion County, and they were going to nearby counties until they finally got busted. So they got their vehicle and they stopped them because they didn't come to a complete stop for right on red, which you have to apparently in Florida. And so they said that they were just coming from Fort Myers. That wasn't true, though. They looked in there. They had probable cause because all the stuff was matching to what they were on the lookout for. They got them out of the car. They found tons of razors, Gillette razor packs, and 400 sticks of deodorant. So they had Oh, also fishing gear, too. What is up with that? Cosmetics, fishing gear, razor blades, razors, and 400 sticks of deodorant. Okay, so they're going to jail also. What is up with this? This is crazy. Let's see. A Florida man, this is, involves a Waffle House. Florida man named Lucky shoots a man in the butt, chases another dude with a screwdriver at a Waffle House, and then he was arrested with drugs on his person. In Pensacola, Escambia County Sheriff's Office arrested a Florida man. He shot one dude in the butt, chased another dude around a Waffle House with a screwdriver. According to the arrest report, 24-year-old Daquan Therese, that's one full first name, Daquan Therese Lucky, was arrested September 8th. He's accused of attempted homicide, aggravated assault, distribution of a Schedule One narcotic within 1,000 feet of a school. He's got a ton of drug charges. Discharge of a firearm, public possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, disorderly conduct. He is in jail. Bond not public, but yeah, he's going to be in jail for a bit. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Vice President Harris still has not explained a lot of her policy reversals. Do you think she needs to explain every policy reversal?
I continue to think that these allegations about policy reversals are overblown.
She's changed her mind on a fracking ban, Medicare for all, a federal jobs guarantee, a border wall, decriminalizing border. The list continues.
Yeah, I disagree that she's changed her mind.
That was Jamal Bowman, the guy pulls the fire alarm. What do you mean you disagree that she's changed her mind? So she was never, she never said that she was against fracking on video. That was just a fabrication of millions of people's imaginations. She never said that she was going to go out and ban guns and confiscate them. That was just on video repeatedly at different campaign stops. That was also just a figment of millions of people's imaginations. I mean, stop. You can't tell people to not believe what they heard and what they saw. You can't. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. I don't know. She's that's another thing. People know that there's like two different. Which Kamala is it? Is it 2020 Kamala? Is it 2024 Kamala? I don't know. I also think I'm gonna say this just on the, because I know Marjorie Taylor Greene has been fighting with people and everybody's been fighting with people. All I'm gonna say is this, because I can't stand when there get to be bad seeds around politicians that need to focus. And we are, what, days out from early voting starting? We are, I mean, I think it's, you know, a month and a half away from the election. We are so close and the polls are so tight. And we're waiting to see what, if anything, can be measured by this second and final debate. And I think that people who are running for the highest office in the land owe it to the people supporting them, the people whose votes they're seeking, and the health of the nation to prioritize all of that first over weird ideas about loyalty or anything else. And I think they need to be very careful about who they have in their inner circle, because there are some bad actors out there, really bad. One day I'm going to write a book. I'm not even joking. I legit will. One day I'm going to write a book and I'll name names and it'll come out posthumously. But I think you got to be careful with the people that you let in your inner circle. And like I said, just because somebody's on the right or claims to be on the right doesn't mean that it is, that they're like more virtuous or not. I know there's something up at the Substack about it from one of our contributors over at Chapter and Verse. When it's this close, you have to have your nominee listen to your real inner circle, listen to the people who have been loyal to you, who actually do move the needle, people who have the nation's interests at heart more than their own, and that's their top priority. He needs to not dally with any baggage. He needs to not have any baggage, not gamble with unforced errors and unnecessary liabilities this close to election day. Please, for the love of all things holy. Sometimes I see things and I'm like, are people trying to lose the election? And I really legitimately wonder that. I mean, I think that he needs to drop his association with some people and focus on winning in November. because everything else is baggage, and baggage is a distraction, and distractions are obstacles. And I'm not going to be told by anyone either, or have anyone else told, well, don't focus on it. Just keep the focus on. Those are not the people that you need to be telling that to. The candidate needs to be reminded about that. Keep your inner circle full of smart people who are loyal and who have the nation's best interest at heart, and then are not a bunch of grifting self-promoters. I mean, it's good grief. We are so close to Election Day, and the polls are so close. And the last thing that I want to see happen is for, you know, us to lose in November because of bad actors. And I question the motivation of people who think that distractions like that are okay, and who think that having baggage around you that close to an election is okay. Anyone who defends this, I'm sorry, but your motivations either aren't pure or your intelligence is subpar. And you are not helping. Out, out, out. Now, that being said, speaking of some of the polls, I'm curious to see, like I said, I'm really curious to see where this, I think there's some state polls that are going to be coming out in the next week or so. And as long as there is a focus, I think he should probably do an event in Springfield, Ohio. And not have it be specifically on just the animals, just the pets and things like that. That's been kind of the talking point. It's true, but that's been kind of the narrative for the past several days. It needs to be tied back to the border. And people need to understand how the interior is affected by this. And also this temporary protected status, because this is a different, it's not just the border, it's immigration is in total. Because you can't just say that Springfield, Ohio is a border issue. Well, I mean, yes and no. It is an immigration issue total. Because of this temporary protected status, administration is simply saying, oh, we don't have to check anything. We just can bring people in because this is an effective nation. And they can just say that and have it be that. I don't know. It's interesting. Audio soundbite 17, CNN is noting that Harris is 13 points behind where Biden was in 2020. Now they're talking about younger voters, but younger voters don't really vote. They don't. You might have a survey that shows that there's going to be a lot of them that come out, but it never matches up. Listen to this. This is 17.
When it comes to the actual voting demographics and the map, the electoral map itself, where could Taylor Swift's endorsement potentially make a difference?
Yeah, I think young voters, young voters, young voters. It's a group of voters that Kamala Harris is struggling versus what you might expect from a normal Democratic candidate in a normal year. So Democrat versus Trump margin. In September of 2020, look at this. Joe Biden was up by 28 points. He was doing particularly poorly among young voters, those under the age of 30, when he dropped out of the race, up by just 7 points. Look, Kamala Harris is doing somewhat better than that at this point, up by 15 over Donald Trump, but still really lagging where Joe Biden was back in 2020.
And that's just even if younger voters go out and vote. But I will say one of the things that this would affect is fundraising, and it also kind of can affect enthusiasm, things like that. Those are real, you know, they're measurable things. That she's struggling on a number of fronts. This is one of the worst nominees that they've ever ran. It shouldn't be this close. This is why I'm telling you the nominee, Republican nominee, does not make it more difficult for himself by having baggage on Trump Force One. Stop. We do not need to make it more difficult. Now, switching gears here, yesterday we talked about Germany basically telling the EU to go pound sand. They're going to heighten restrictions for entry because they've been dealing with too much Islamist terrorism, too many attacks. They have, you know, unfettered. They're just being overrun by people coming into the country and no way to vet or verify who is who. So Lorraine caught this one. This is the Netherlands. The Netherlands, they are declaring a state of emergency amid an illegal immigrant crisis, and they are asking for opt-out from the EU migration policy. This is wild. And so I'm not quite sure. I mean, we're still waiting for the EU response on this, but first you have Germany, and then now you have the Netherlands. And so we'll, I'm sure that the EU is going to respond with as much fury to this as they did with Germany, because they were telling these. So you have what is like 27, I think it's like 27 EU member nations. And of those, I think all of them except for two have what they call this like free movement thing that is underscored by the Schengen agreement. And that was something that was signed into that. They made that kind of like law back in 1985. And it said it's about promoting free movement within the European Union. And so the only countries that don't participate in the Schengen agreement are Ireland and Cyprus. Everybody else does. So of all of the EU member states, everybody except for two, all of them except for two, are members of the Schengen agreement. And it basically, it regulates like the types of visas you have to have, and it's harmonization of the conditions of entry. And they basically make it easier for you to travel in between these countries in Europe. And it kind of reduced some of the border, the entry scrutiny. Well, now, here's the thing that the Schengen agreement does allow for: if there is a serious threat to public safety or security, you can temporarily suspend that aspect and introduce border control at your internal borders. And so that's what some of these countries are looking at doing. And even though it allows for this, the EU is reacting with fury to countries who are saying that they need to do this. And the Netherlands is one of the member states of the EU. So they've declared an emergency related to the crisis of illegal immigration. And they're saying that, well, we have the authority to do this under the Schengen agreement, because the Schengen agreement allows for us to temporarily suspend this free movement thing and reintroduce border control and restrictions. And that's what Germany essentially did. But the EU lost their minds at Germany. We talked about that yesterday. And this is what gets me. They say that, well, if you are introducing border controls, the member state must inform the council, the EU council and other Schengen countries and the European Parliament and the European Commission, etc. Like, you have to ask all of these other foreign nations, is it OK if we reintroduce some control at our borders, because we're dealing with terrorism and people getting murdered, like tons, like our homicide rates are through the roof. Is it OK if we? That's insane that you even have to ask that. But I think the EU is stupid. I think the European Union is ridiculous. It is a ridiculous, fruitless exercise of vanity from, you know, it's something that a crumbling empire would come up with to make it crumble faster. So the Netherlands is saying, we can't deal with this anymore. We got to do something. And I'm waiting to see what the EU response would be, but they announced it today. They're like, we have to. They're saying it's, and now some were saying that, is this the death of the Schengen agreement? Because now you have Germany and now you have the Netherlands doing it. So if it's the death of the Schengen agreement, then what does that do to free movement? And how does that affect the European Union overall? Because the EU, I think, is a threat to American security. I think the way that it operates, I think these are nations that are allied nations, but I think that it's destroying the security of allied nations. And when your allies are weaker, you in turn become weaker as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A new study coming out of Australia at the University of Tasmania and other institutions analyzed data from over 32,000 participants in this U.S. biobank study to determine the relationship between abdominal fat and chronic pain. So they were using advanced MRI imaging and precisely measured two different types of abdominal fat: visceral adipose tissue, and that's around the internal organs, and subcutaneous adipose tissue, which is just beneath the skin. And they revealed a very close response relationship. The more abdominal fat someone carries, the likelihood that they experience chronic pain in multiple areas of the body increased. And it was true for both the visceral and subcutaneous fat. They said people who had higher levels of abdominal fat reported greater overall chronic pain, particularly in neck, back, hips, and knees. I would think that the extra weight like adds to that, fuels it. I mean, that seems kind of like an obvious thing. This is just weird. Plane crashes on golf courses. This Channel 9 News in Douglas County, a plane crashed on a golf course. It flipped over. Two people were evaluated by medical staff, according to fire officials. It was in Colorado. Single engine plane with two people on board. It was in the morning. Nobody was taken to the hospital. They had minor injuries, which is shocking when you look at the wreck and then think it's a plane crash. I mean, it landed upside down, but they had minor injuries so that nobody was hospitalized. So thankfully everyone was okay, but good heavens, they're investigating what may have happened with that. Also, this family says they found razor blades in a bag of frozen blueberries. It's in British Columbia where this apparently took place. They said that this family, they have an 11-year-old girl. They had a package of blueberries, and they said they apparently found, it's Kirkland brand, they found razor blades in it. And they said their daughter was making a smoothie with frozen blueberries, and she found little envelopes that with the classic, you know, straight edge razor blades are wrapped in. They said they watched her pull it out of the bag, and they reported the issue to Costco. They brought the bag back. They said they were looking into the matter, but so far they haven't. I don't even know how that happens. How does that even remotely? I mean, obviously you're not going to just like grab a handful of blueberry. I don't think people really eat them like that, but still, that's kind of crazy. A jury is considering this is weird. This is MSN. The headline's a little confusing. The jury's considering marshmallow eating contest death. There's an inquest in the death of a woman who choked to death while eating a marshmallow during a marshmallow eating competition. She was 37 years old. She took part in the event last year, and they were looking into it, and they found that originally the pre-inquest said that the jury inquest was required. So they're trying to figure out, I mean, she choked to death on a marshmallow. You're entering a marshmallow eating competition. I would just assume that you're taking that into consideration as a possibility when evaluating whether or not you should participate in it. Do we have to have all these steps for this? Good grief. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
What we saw yesterday with the president briefly wearing a MAGA hat, since the pool wasn't in the room for that, can you share a little bit more about how that happened and just what kind of message you think it sent?
So a couple of things for those, like you said, the pool was not in the room, so I just want to make sure I lay this out so folks get the context of what happened. So we were, the president was in Shanksville Fire Station, one of the locations, obviously, of where the plane was taken down on September 11th of 2001. So the president gave an impromptu remarks about bipartisan unity. That's what he was talking about. And he talked about it in the moment of September 11th. That's what we experienced after 9/11, and said that we needed to go back to that bipartisan unity as a country. And so he made those remarks, impromptu remarks, to some of the folks who were there on that day. And he offered a presidential hat to a man who was wearing a Trump cap. He was wearing a Trump hat, and he offered it to him as a gesture. And in return, the man said that in the same spirit, the president should put on his Trump cap. And so the president did very briefly, and that's what happened. It was truly a back and forth about unity, and the president remembering a moment in time.
The crazy thing about it is it was the nicest and only nice thing. I'm trying to be generous here, but it was the nicest and maybe only nice interaction and only nice thing that Biden had during his entire term, like this. And it's at the end. Amazing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the bottom of this third hour. It was the only nice thing that he had. The only nice thing that, you know, that I saw him or anybody else do from his administration this his whole term. Isn't it sad? It's sad that it's like that. Because everything is so stupidly tribal. But I don't know, maybe he just doesn't feel like he's you know, gotta keep it up anymore. Because he's going to pardon his son, and then he's going to go off into the sunset. Who knows? But he hasn't weighed in. Notice he hasn't really weighed in on the pet thing. He hasn't really weighed in on the crime in Aurora. Hasn't really weighed in on any of that. And this story that came out. There's more video coming out about the apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, where there's more. I mean, now they know of the multiple, not just one, but multiple apartment complexes that Venezuelan gangs have basically taken over. The TDA gang, the largest transnational criminal operation in Venezuela. They think there's like 7,000 members. And it was formed in the late 2000s in their state prison. So, and everybody's got very visible tattoos. They make it very easy to identify them. And anything, this is what other, I found this interesting. Another popular identifier is anything that can, that commemorates Michael Jordan or his jersey number 23. And they also like clocks, trains, crowns, and gas masks. Those are also identifiable things that they have. It's just weird. And I'm just, that's what Sanctuary City gets you. See, it's more than just like animals in from the temporary protected status people that they're allowing in without any, illegally, without any documentation into Springfield, Ohio. It's also in Aurora, Colorado. It's everywhere. It's a major issue. And there is a measurable crime statistic that has accompanied it. To sit here and say that it doesn't exist is just dumb on these people's parts. It really is. All right, a few other things to get into as well. Some culture stuff. You guys know, I told you I play video games. I was playing, have been playing Warhammer Space Marine 2, which is really good. It's really good to play. It took me a little bit to get used to the different style of gameplay because like your character will do a maneuver. So instead, like they'll have like a kill hit that they can do. It's like a final finishing move. And you have to know what correct buttons to push on it. But it's just a little bit different than, you know, like using your special attack, like in previous, like whether it's Darktide or Vermintide, which is also part of the Warhammer 40K world. And there's a lot of lore. I don't want you, please do not let your eyes glass over this. I promise you this affects you whether you play or know anything about Warhammer. I swear to you it does. Because when you take one of the very last places that woke has not corrupted away, then you have no places where woke hasn't corrupted. And that, I mean, you don't want to lose any ground. This is why, this is like when conservatives left entertainment in that. You can't sit here, I wish conservatives wouldn't do this with gaming. They left movies and they left arts and entertainment, and then they bitched and moaned all the times about, oh, I can't believe now they're all so left. Yeah, because the right left it way back like 50, 60 years ago. They even stopped helping to finance with production. So, of course, don't make video games the next wasteland, please, for the love of all things holy. Just because people don't play them, don't make it like that. Your grandkids, your kids, the other people will. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people think it's isolating. The only people who think that playing games are isolating are people who've never played them and thus have zero authority or relevancy to the conversation. So they... Warhammer is, you just go in and play. When I'm playing a game, I don't care about your backstory. I don't want a ton of cutscenes. I don't care. I just want to go in and shoot stuff in the face and blow stuff up. And I want to fight baddies and monsters. And that's all I want to do. It's just fun. It's just fun. It's entertaining. It's stuff that you can't do in real life. So I don't want to hear the whole, well, it's very, very real. No, it's not. I'm not shooting giant tyrannids in real life. Shut up. So I have been paying attention to a lot of the wokery that's in a lot of these other video game titles, like how they've ruined. We have a really good piece up right now at Substack, Chapter and Verse, my newsletter, that gets into why some of this stuff is so important and why it's important to the next generation that are going to determine, you know, things for you when you're old. That's another reason why this needs to be important to you. Like, for instance, I thought it was a really good piece. One of our contributors put up, that gets into like why, what is this? The Arkham games and the Suicide Squad games. I didn't even know this about, because I never played these. I didn't even know this about Mr. Freeze. Like, one of the reasons why he became a criminal was because his wife was super sick and he needed to fund her treatment because he wasn't able to do it, you know, the other way. And he wasn't a traditional villain. So he wasn't about self-promotion. He wanted to sacrifice like everything to save his wife. So there was a little bit of there's a lot of humanity and that starts at the beginning of that criminal character arc, which is very interesting and very different from like some of the other ones in that world. And so he became a criminal to fund his research into curing his wife. And when they, when the wokesters, when you have all of these woke, you have all of these game studios, and you have BlackRock, which has gotten involved in this, Tencent, which is a communist Chinese company that has gotten involved in everything from Hollywood to gaming. Sidebar, Tencent was the production company that originally was helping to produce the sequel to Top Gun, and they were demanding that Maverick remove the Taiwanese flag from his jacket in order for Top Gun, the sequel, to have opening in Chinese theaters, because they have tons of theaters over there, and they're the fastest growing movie screen, you know, it, with a country that has more movie screens than anybody. It's China. And it's a big market, a big chunk of change. And they, Tencent, who is CCP, they were telling them they got, they have to take the Taiwanese flag off of Maverick's jacket or you're SOL. And at first they did it, and then they got a lot of feedback, a lot of flack from justifiably people here in the U.S. and elsewhere. And so they put it back on, and Tencent bowed out. And that's not the first time they've tried to do that kind of stuff. They're doing it in games, too. And they're backing, they don't do it in China, but they back wokery to get involved in all of these other U.S. companies. You have BlackRock that comes in and takes ownership. Tencent ended up buying, what is it, Blizzard? And COD sucks now out loud because Tencent got involved in it via all of this. I mean, there's like a huge history. Bottom line is that there's an active war on gaming underway that is well financed, and you got a lot of wokery in it, and they've been going after all these titles. And there are some titles that have been, for the most part, I think, protected from wokery because they're so nerdy, no one would possibly want to be interested in doing it until now. One of those has been the Warhammer universe. Now, I don't play the tabletop game because the idea of sitting down and painting a figurine when I have zero artistic talent scares the hell out of me and also makes my eyes fall out of my head, so I'm not going to do that. But I love video games. I love being in the world of video games. And so I've been playing these titles, and now they have these woke companies that are, or woke consultancy companies that are getting involved and trying to tell these video game companies what to do. You know, the social credit score, all that stuff, BlackRock investment, all of it. And now they're trying to do this to Warhammer. So now you have a bunch of dumb broads who don't play video games, know nothing about Warhammer, crying about how they want more female representation in Warhammer, even though there's a ton of female representation in Warhammer. I mean, you have the Adeptus Sororitas, which are the Silent Sisters, and they're, I mean, they're like the baddest, most BA chicks in the game, but that's completely ignored from a lot of this. So there's a great piece that's up, Chapter and Verse, that is getting into all of the stuff with games and all of this. But the bottom line is that they're trying to retcon Warhammer for more female representation, and they introduced a custo that's a woman, and they're trying to argue about the lore, and they even went back and changed the lore, retconned it to try to and try to rewrite history and make people think that, oh yes, there were women and they have women that can be these characters. I'm just so tired of it. I don't need a big backstory. I don't need a female. I'm playing as a dude. I'm actually, my character is a black man in Warhammer. I don't care. I'm playing. I'm having fun. I'm not sitting here looking at this character like, why don't I see myself in it? I'm like, my character's BA. I want like a badass character. And my biggest concern was, what chapter am I going to pick for, you know, how am I going to customize my dude? Am I going to be a Dark Angel? Am I going to be, you know, Iron Fist? What am I going to be? That was my biggest concern. I didn't care. I'm playing as a black dude in this game. I'm not even kidding you. That's what I was assigned, and I'm playing it, and I don't care. Because it's a fun game and the gameplay is good. You're too busy murking tyrannids to figure out why doesn't my character look pretty and why am I not a woman. Nobody cares. Actual players don't care about that stuff. You have all these pretenders that are getting in and ruining all of these exercises, all of these other extracurriculars. They're ruining the last escapes for people from the hellscape that is society. And you should pay attention to it. Because we have given up so much ground because people, oh, well, it doesn't affect me. So, well, you know what? When something does affect you, don't expect help from that community then. That would be like me saying, oh, well, you know, oh, this guy's being attacked in Massachusetts because he used a firearm to defend himself. Well, it doesn't affect me. So I guess it's like people who don't own guns saying that any disputes involving the Second Amendment don't affect them. So they don't have to be. Yes, it is actually can have just as much impact. I get really passionate about it because it's I just watch our culture being dumbed down to the most ridiculous idiocracy level point possible. And it's all from these woke schools. It's all from this cultural revolution, like Mao's cultural revolution. It's here in the U.S. It's already happening. That revolution is well underway. And we need people to not give up ground because it doesn't affect them or they don't. Yes, I know Warhammer is a huge world and there's a lot of lore and oh my gosh, I'm still learning about it. There's a lot there. But even if you're not participating in it or you don't play or you don't have any idea of it, you need to realize that millions of people do. And this all will, nothing's an island in terms of culture. And that's why it's important.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So apparently ABC is now denying the allegation about collusion between Harris and debate moderators. Apparently the I still can't remember this chick's name, Lindsay Davis, and I don't really care to, is a sorority sister. I mean, they didn't graduate at the same time, but apparently she was in the same sorority that Kamala Harris was in. And ABC's denying the allegation that there was any kind of collusion. Their spokesperson told the Daily Beast that Harris was not given questions ahead of the debate and that there was nothing like that. That was a comment they told Daily Beast. They said Harris was not given anything before, no questions before the debate and the debate network rules, they stated, and reiterated that no topics or question will be shared in advance with the candidates. I don't even think that they needed to, because her answers were, they were rehearsed. She was real nervous when she started, you could tell. And her only goal was to push Trump's buttons. She wasn't there to answer questions on policy. She was there to make him mad and get him distracted so he could not nuke her candidacy in a debate. And she was successful in that. That's where she did succeed, because she made him mad. And then he got distracted and was like, it ended up leaving a lot of opportunity on the table. So, and that's true. People getting mad about it doesn't mean it makes it less true. You either want to win or you don't. And people who want to win acknowledge where errors have been made, and then they work to correct those. People who don't want to win want the same errors to keep getting made, and they take very great offense to anything corrective pointed out. And be suspicious of those people. You should. I am. So they tweeted this out, or they made this statement. The statement was tweeted out as well. I don't really think that she needed, I don't even if she had questions in advance, it's, again, like I said, it's not going to change anything. He said there's not going to be another debate. I don't know why anybody would do one. I think they're stupid at this point. Is this the death of like the debate as we know it, at least on mainstream legacy press? Maybe. I feel like the town halls are more informative when it's like a town hall kind of setting, because this, you're just, it's a battle of sound bites. That's all it is. And you have to be real about it. What's the stuff that everybody shares? It's sound bites. No one shares big, giant discussions of in-depth conversation. It's quick sound bites that they can just, you know, easily share on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. That's all it is anymore. So I don't know. Maybe it's the death of the modern debate. We'll see. All right, Steve, today in stupidity.
All right, Kane is out today, so I'll take the reins here. Biden had a speech today. Who knows what it was about, but he referenced one of those that black job thing that Trump had mentioned a long time ago.
Yeah, black jobs.
And I don't know if he was being serious or this was, if you be the judge, but Juan, go ahead.
In just 3.5 years, we created over 2 million new black jobs for black Americans and black...
That sounded really awkward. We created black jobs for black Americans. I don't even know what that means. That's awkward, but the press will skip over it. Folks, that does it for us this week. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll get you set up over the week. Make sure you sign up over at the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you on Monday. Have a safe weekend.